Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Title-O Unavailable.
Title-O?
Title-O Unavailable.
Title-O Unavailable.
Unavailable.
Just confused in my mouth.
In this episode, we are reviewing.
Reviewing or just talking about?
Both.
Green Book, because you've forgotten the name already. As you tend to do.
Which is a story about a black guy and a white guy in a car.
You see, I would say the opposite, a white guy and a black guy. I don't know if that's racist in itself.
No.
Because the majority of the film is actually about the white guy.
No, it's not.
I'd say it is.
He's the character
you get from the very start. He's the main character for the very beginning. You don't see a single bit involved in him.
No. I wouldn't have said it was focused on him. For me,
I'd say it would be.
I agree that he was the main character.
No, I think the focus or the moral of the whole thing was to do with race and discrimination and all that sort of stuff. And that obviously meant that the Dawn character was like a main character, but they were both main characters.
It was about a softening and a hardening.
Hmm.
Or a tightening and a loosening.
Right, probably
more accurately. So, the driver...
Tony.
Tony Macaroni.
Don't give them free advertising.
He had to tighten up, become more refined, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
to be more cultured,
mm-hmm.
to understand different cultures,
mm-hmm.
and to be open and honest with it, right? Mm-hmm. And he also had to speak properly and start swearing a lot. Whereas.
Don Charlie.
Cheeto. He needed to.
Don's a black guy, by the way.
Yeah. He needed to loosen up. He needed to take his life a wee bit less seriously.
I don't even know if that was my
from the whole film, right?
That's what you got for it.
It was about he was trying to change attitudes to him,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't willing to change himself.
Who wasn't who what?
He was trying
Dawn
to change.
Don
was trying to change everybody's attitudes towards black people.
But he wasn't willing to change.
He wasn't willing to change himself.
Aye. No, I can see that. I can see that. I mean, I think.
Basically, it was a really, really good film.
It was magic. I loved it.
I wasn't wanting to see it. I didn't want to see that one.
Why didn't you want to see it though?
Because it just didn't interest me. I thought it was a couple of guys sitting in a car talking a bunch of crap.
Oh, right. No, I loved it. Anyway, I thought it was great. I mean, I'd barely seen any trailers. I'd seen a trailer for it and went, that looks alright. Got the recommendation for Elliot that it was good. And then went, we'll go and see that. It's good.
It was really good, but for me, it didn't finish in a bit of a downer.
It didn't finish in a bit.
Well, first of all, it's a true story.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. I didn't know it was a true story.
No.
I like true stories that don't tell you they're true stories until the very end.
I told you it was a true story right at the beginning.
I didn't really say that.
It says based on a true story. The very first minute we walked in, we were sitting in the cinema.
I never read that bit.
It said based on a true story.
Oh, well. I got the luxury of avoiding that bit.
Anyway, the film itself. I forgot my point now.
You seen it was a bit of a downer?
Aye. It was a bit of a sad outlook on it, I thought, from his point of view, Don's point of view.
How?
Because the guy was on his own.
Aye, but I don't think it was a downer. It was...
I know,
it was a downer in the sense that he went home and he didn't have anybody, but it was not a downer in the sense that he went to Tony's house and got to be with his family and that's a true friend now and all that sort of stuff.
It was a
happy ending that he realised he didn't have to be alone, that he was isolating himself.
My point being that the guy had everything and had nothing.
I had loads of stuff and loads of money.
And that's...
We didn't have anybody.
Like, he had two things no going for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't bad enough that he was black.
Mm-hmm. But he was also gay.
He was gay and all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't actually say he was gay.
Yeah, but he gets caught with a man.
Aye, but...
And they got no gloves on.
He was also married, so...
Aye, so, but a lot of gay people were married to women.
I understand that, but...
Well, you see, that's what kind of confused me.
He did say he was playing the part.
He did say, aye, and he did say, like, at the time he was sorry about that thing. He didn't, like, he was like, I thought this would be the exception of what you would want to be there for, like, to look after him or whatever, when he was away. So he didn't deny anything was going to happen, or any of the rest of it, you know what I mean?
Do you know the thing that really enjoyed in the film? There was no bust up with a wife. There's always a bust up with a wife.
Like a fight or something?
Like, I was like, he's not going to make it home for Christmas.
Aye.
He's not going to make it home for Christmas. The wife's going to be raging.
Aye.
Always happens.
Aye.
Always happens.
I loved the wife. I thought she was
never
great.
Happened.
It's her name, Linda Cardellini. Oh, she's actually got a Italian training name.
Yeah.
Dolores Villalonga. I can understand how all the people in that film couldn't say his last name.
No, I liked it. I thought
it was great. I loved it.
I loved all of you,
like the funny bits, like it was dead funny the whole film, with just like the kind of relationship between Tony and Dawn and how it kind of mellows as they go along. But Tony never sort of changes the whole film. He's just the same guy. The only thing that changes is he's a bit more, like, at the very beginning of the film, there's two black guys in doing the plumbing or fixing the floor or something in his apartment, and he sees that his wife's gave him like a drink of lemonade, and then she puts the glasses in the sink, and Tony turns around when the wife's out of the room. He takes the glasses and puts them in the bin, which is sort of showing that he doesn't like black people, or he's got a prejudice against them.
It's not and necessarily then, a prejudice either. It's more a kind of,
it's just a cultural thing in that day.
Unknown.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's got that sort of thing about them, and then for the rest of the film, like his attitude doesn't really change or anything else. But you tell he's more. Like black people are just people and they're fine and all of it. Like he was less prejudiced or less discriminatory against them, and he was sort of defending them at the same time a wee bit. So I just like the character. They're just dead likable. Well, Tony in particular is just dead likable. I love that guy. He's a great character.
Don
wasn't so much likable, but he kind of got there in the end with his relationship to Tony. As he started getting more pally with Tony, he got better.
Aye, but I mean, I kind of. Well, who would you relate more to, Tony or Don?
Relate more or want to be pals with?
No, be like relate. Who did you relate more to? Like, I feel you in that situation. This is not about racism. Just set that apart.
Probably more Don.
I would say Don as well.
Like, I felt more for his like not knowing who he is and. You know, not knowing where he stands. Like that bit in the rain, where he was like, "If I'm not black enough and I'm not white enough, and
that
I'm not
was hard.
and I'm not man enough, then what am I?" I'm like, "Oh man, just hit me right in the heart there." Oh, no. It's just such a, it's just
the
a existential
the whole
crisis.
World going against him.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
This film, it's a great film, and it's funny, like all the funny bits in it, but it's a. It's also
still,
an emotional film at the same time.
He's still quite happy to get walked all over the whole time.
But it's not that he's happy to get walked all over. He's just, his opinion of how to deal with it isn't to react to it. It's to rise above it. You know what I mean? Anytime anyone's been like, you know, discriminating.
I didn't think he did rise above it.
See, I didn't think he'd done well either. I thought he should have. But, I don't know, it's just I suppose his attitude was, right, they can kind of, you know, tell me I can't do things or whatever the rest of it is, or you know, put me in the bad bit, or give me the food they think I'm the black people like or whatever.
Fried chicken.
Aye. And like, he's just sort of like, right, I'm not going to react to that, I'm going to rise above it, I'm just going to pretend that it's fine. But it didn't really stand up until the very end, where he stood up to the guy and he's like, if you're not letting me in here, then I'm not doing your show. And the guy's like, aye, he'll do the show. And he's like, no, when I'm away. Bye-bye. And
technically, he's still done a show.
Yeah, but he done it. And that and all, I liked that. I liked how he went in and he get right into the kind of blues and jazzy sort of music.
That was my point. For someone who was...
So against it?
No, for someone who's supposed to be so cultured, he wasn't so cultured.
Aye, he didn't know anything about black culture. Like, he'd avoided it.
Oh, It never really explained the situation with my brother, but did it?
It didn't, it just said they were estranged.
I assumed that was because he was gay.
I never really assumed that, I just assumed it was one of these things that they just split up and neither of them bothered to go back. I liked Tony's bit, he's, like Tony, he's one of the kind of straight-spoken dudes, but he's also a kind of a bullshitter at the same time. But he comes out with wee nuggets of wisdom this whole film. Just along the way, like saying things that you're like, that's actually really why he's saying that. Like,
I know, but I didn't get the bit,
like the bit when they're in the motel or whatever it is, and he goes about writing to his brother, and he's like, ah, he knows where I am if he wants to hang me, and he's like, ah, well, if I were you, I would hang me, because...
The world's full of people like that.
The world's full of lonely people who are afraid to make the first move. And I'm like, great line. Great point.
But I didn't... Going right back to the beginning, didn't really get the hat scene. Like, I get it was trying to show that he was quite clever.
Yeah, yeah.
But...
I know, it was a bit... I think it was
a bit
out there. I think it was there to sort of show he could manipulate a situation. I'm not really sure what the point was, or that it was... I don't know.
And the whole thing with the gun.
What do you mean? Like, actually, I had a gun?
Like that was...
No, I expected him to have a gun.
I knew he had a gun because I watched the bloody trailer and he shoots the thing.
I know, I never seen the trailer, so I didn't know that. But, aye. I know, I seen that coming when they were in the bar and he fishes out the money, he's got a wad of cash. I'm like, he's totally going to get robbed. I thought he was actually going to get robbed and he was way back or somebody. But, no, I thought that was quite good. Are you looking for you?
I liked my probably. I didn't like it.
What? The whole thing?
The whole. See the bit when. The bit when he thinks that Tony's going to leave him.
And he goes and tries to get him to pay him more money. And
aye. Oh my goodness, man.
Well, you didn't like it? What do you mean? You just felt bad for him?
You know, the guy's got to buy his pals. Everybody in his life he's bought. You know, he has no relationships, he has no family, he has no loved ones. He's just constantly...
What do you mean you don't like it? You don't like it as in that sad?
No,
you
didn't feel like it. I didn't like the experience, that's what I said.
Oh, right. I thought you meant you didn't like that they put that in the film. Well, that's what you meant.
Oh, I just hated that bit.
Aye, no, that's different.
Because, no, you know, the guys... I hate seeing people like that in general.
Aye.
I hate seeing people... They've got nothing.
Aye.
And the people that have got everything are usually the ones that have got nothing.
Aye.
Well, the ones that see themselves as such a failure.
Yeah. Well, that was part of the film as well, was the guy was rich, and he could buy or pretty much do... Well, he couldn't do everything he wanted, but he could buy anything he wanted or whatever. But he had nothing because he didn't have friends, he didn't have a family, he didn't have anybody, like, to, like, connect to.
Aye.
And that was sort of a point in the film as well. And he was an alcoholic, wasn't he? Or a bit of an alcoholic. He was drinking, he always wanted a bottle of whiskey every night. After his gig, he wanted to sit and drink his whiskey on his own and all the rest of it. And I felt sorry for him that he couldn't relate to any of the other black folk. And all. Like, he struggled with that and all. That's how that scene in the rain, man, I was just, oh, God.
It was quite a hard film. Quite deep.
Yeah, it's a deep... It was deep, but at the same time, I thought it was great the whole time. I suppose that's maybe why it's called a comedy drama or a drama comedy or whatever. That's the sort of genre it comes under.
You know, it just shows you the troubles at that time.
I know.
You know, how difficult it must have been, how things you take for granted, even just going to a toilet.
I was just like, what? Do they drive half an hour to go to the toilet? Because he was not letting them use it. That's just madness, these things.
No.
But I did like the... Oh, I suppose me being a white guy, I did relate to the bit where he was in the car and Don saying something to Tony about, you know, thinking all black folk are, you know, the same or whatever the rest of it is.
Right.
And then he turned around and says, well, I can't say something because I'm white. Is that what you're saying? That's a really prejudiced thing you just said to me. And like, I related to that a bit.
It's funny how racist isn't even a word thing.
Yeah.
His racist was not mentioned in that whole film once.
It was just prejudice, or even that wasn't. That was once.
That's quite funny.
No, but I found that scene interesting in the film. Like he said, I, just because I'm white, you're saying I can't think that or do that. I found that interesting because they very rarely mention that in films or in anything talking about race.
But I tell you something.
Uh-huh.
I never put two and two together.
What?
With a book. Green like, book? I knew about the book.
What do you mean?
The Green Book.
Uh-huh.
I knew that it was a thing.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like not necessarily research or such, but you know, when you're bored one night on YouTube and you start looking through videos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that there was such a thing as a Green Book, but I never put two and two together that that's what it was about.
Mm.
That's why what it was a Green Book to get people to stop people from getting killed.
Aye.
You know, it's
you find a safe place to stay for the night.
Scary stuff, you know.
Aye.
Really, really scary stuff, so you just imagine living in that. Take that for granted that we don't live in such a
and it kinda makes me think at all, like obviously we're white, so we've not experienced that prejudice to ourselves. But like to me, I look at it and go, well, it's not that bad. It's not as bad now as it was then. No way near as bad or whatever. But obviously, people still do get, you know, people still are racist. And people, like black people and people of different races still experience stuff like that.
I don't think. See, this is where I differ from a lot of people. I don't think name calling as such
mm-hmm.
is racist.
Like calling somebody black,
but not black, but like, other words
like the word that we can't say.
Yes, noir.
And
what
was it they kept calling them in this? Coons. Is that what they kept saying?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
That's like
I could tell that it was bad. But I'd never heard that word before.
But my point being. What was my point? Oh, aye. Right. I don't think... For me, personally, that's not racist to me. Racist is making somebody go and do a pee in the garden. Racist is not letting someone eat in a restaurant. Racist is excluding someone from doing something because of the colour of their skin.
Right.
Name calling?
Uh-huh.
Isn't for me.
What if it's an abusive manner?
Then it's abuse. It's not racist.
Mm.
If I call someone ginger,
mm-hmm.
and they're ginger,
mm-hmm.
does that make that racist?
No, I get it. People at school used to say it was racist, remember?
Well, technically it is. Technically, if people were wearing jeans and somebody wasn't wearing jeans and you excluded someone because they weren't wearing jeans, that's racist. Racism has nothing to do with the colour of skin.
Racism
has
to do with race.
No, it's not. It's not.
As in your race.
It's not.
You're right in the sense
I've had this argument before.
No, if you're on about jeans.
What is a race?
A race is an ethnicity of people, I would assume.
Wait, that's right.
Race is what you run and you win.
Right.
What does it say? It's a definition. We love looking things up in this podcast, I'm telling you. Definitions. Should we call it definitions?
Right. It doesn't.
So that one doesn't. Does that one doesn't take?
No,
fancy.
It does. It just says race. Mm-hmm. Discriminates against the race. Okay. So when I look at it here, where does it? Where is it?
I think you're right in what you're saying. Like if it was genes, it's just differences that people are being against.
So,
I'm fine when you're reading a bloody...
No, because race has got like 400 different meanings. Calm down, geez, oh. Okay, so let's say I'm right. The fact or condition of belonging to a racial division or group.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The qualities... or characteristics associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, a group of people sharing the same culture, i.e. culture, history, language, ethnic group. These are all races.
Right.
Okay, so people who wear jeans is actually technically a race.
Right, because that's a culture.
Because it's a culture, yep. Mm. Right. That's people who wear socks and sandals are technically a race.
Mm-hmm.
And saying anything to them is racist.
Aye.
So, race has become...
Is fat shaming a racist thing?
Technically, yeah.
Having racist...
It's discrimination.
Aye.
If we say discrimination, we're happy calling it discrimination, but we're not happy calling it racist because it's not about colour of skins.
Yeah.
But that's my point. So, I really don't think calling people names is racist in any manner of means. Whether they're black, white, or whatever, and you're using that against them.
I'm dying.
If you call a fat person fat, you're not racist.
You're just stating a fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not always necessarily pleasant, but I don't think, I wouldn't call that racism. That film I would call racist.
Aye. Like, limiting
that is different.
People.
Watching
that film, it's hard to believe that people, like, actually thought that that was fine, that that was all right, that that was like, of course I don't need to serve you in this shop, get out.
And then people thought it was all right to vote Donald Trump into a presidency.
Mm, true.
You know, it's culture, and that's that's another thing, right, that gets me quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
right, that. You know, you think about your own belief systems,
mm-hmm.
whatever they may be. Really, you only believe them because of the culture you've been brought up in.
Mm-hmm.
That scares me. Because you think about it, you don't really then have your own opinions on anything. Your opinions are based off of other people's opinions.
Nice.
Always.
Yeah, there's never any...
Like, you don't have a...
The only way to have... an opinion closer to being your own is to sample such a large amount of other opinions, different opinions.
Even still, there's still
aye, it will be influenced like from all of those things.
Naturally,
but like,
big groups.
Aye, but if you limit your, you know, your opinion making from just where you live or from your country or from, you know, from like Western civilization or whatever, mm-hmm. then that's limiting it. But if you learn about all different cultures and all different places and all different stuff, then you can create a more unique opinion that is more your own because you're using it for a more wide pool of information. So it's more of your opinion, but it's still not.
Well, it's not more of your opinion. It's more of other people's.
But it's
more of more people's.
Yeah, but if I only ever listen to my parents and base all my opinions off of that.
Then have the opinion of your parents.
No, then aye. Then my opinion is my parents' opinion. I don't have my own opinion.
Yep.
But if I have my opinion of hundreds of millions of people.
You have the opinion of other hundreds of millions of people, still not your own opinion.
But I can take bits of each people's and make it into one that's my own.
No.
Uh-huh.
You have one that's then a jigsaw of all different other people.
Aye, but it's no longer solely of a certain person.
You have a mixed group. You have a unique combination. You do not have a unique opinion.
Aye, but that's what I'm saying. I feel like that's more of your own because it's not blindly been taken.
It has been blindly taken.
It's been thought of from a few different angles.
You believed that it's true.
I suppose.
And why have you believed that it's true?
Nothing exists.
Because
nothing is real.
Nothing
is real.
Because society has taught you to believe that.
Yes, they're all just machines.
I mean, let's be honest, if it was the opposite way about,
mm-hmm.
you know,
what was the opposite way?
It was white people that were the minority, even although they're physically the majority,
mm-hmm.
and say for the UK, I don't know if that's actually true or not, but
right, I've wondered something about
here we go.
Racism, right?
Yes.
Is it racist to be racist against a white person?
Yes.
Like, is it possible? Because you never hear that.
No, because...
Because what?
This is the thing that bothers me, right?
Right.
If you shorten... I'm doing this as politely as possible.
Right.
If you shorten any other countries, someone coming from a country, you shorten their name, right?
You're being racist.
You're being racist.
Because you can't see their name.
But it's perfectly fine to call people Yanks. It's perfectly fine to call people Scots. It's perfectly fine. What do English people call? Brits.
Brits.
I suppose that is actually a thing. No, Britons. It's Brit. It's a short. It's an abbreviation of Britons. No, it's Britons. Britons.
Aye, no, but that's the actual word.
So it's an abbreviation.
Ah, but still.
So like Scott. Scots, you're Scottish.
But it's Scots.
Aye.
Aye.
So it's a short. It's abbreviated version of the actual word. So Brits.
Well, then Yanks is. Then they're different then. That's just.
No, I know, but that's a different word.
Yanks would be different though, because what does Yank mean?
Yankees is just because there is a connotation to it. I can't remember it exactly.
But I know what you mean.
But anyway, that's my point. My point is that's not racist. Nobody sees that as racist. People would take offence at you calling them by the abbreviated name.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that's racist. And that's what annoys me. That's what annoys me about everything. That's what annoys me about feminism. That's what annoys me about equality. Equality doesn't exist. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end up going off the rant and everyone's going to hate me. I don't care. Equality does not exist. There's no such thing as equality, and equality is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone got exactly the same, everyone would be exactly the same, this world would be very, very boring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Equal opportunities, however, should be a thing. There should never be a time when you're going into a boardroom and you're going, 80% of this boardroom is male, we need to make that 50-50. So no matter the qualifications of the people around this table, 50% now need to be women. That's my problem. That is my problem.
No, it's
it should be equal opportunities. And I'm not racist, okay? And I'm specifically not racist because I'm not racist or feminist or any of the ists or isms that are out there, because I don't think about these things. And that's my definition. If you specifically think of something and...
If you specifically look at somebody and consider the colour of their skin,
if you consider that...
Gender, then that makes you sexist or racist.
Yes.
If you just look at them as a human being, then you're not anything.
I would never hire. I'm in recruitment, so I would never hire anyone or fire anyone
on gender,
based on gender or race or colour of their skin or how high their earlobes are or anything like that. I would only ever judge them on their performance and on their qualifications.
Aye.
Well, wait a minute. That's me being qualificationist now. Or elitist. That's what it is. No, that's not the word. What's the word?
I don't know.
What's the word?
What would you call that?
Meritocracy.
Aye.
Meriot.
No, but that makes sense though.
Meritist. I don't know.
But like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, I think it should be a case of, if you're the best person for the job or you're the best person for whatever it is, it doesn't matter what you look like or what your gender is or any of the rest of it, then you're the best person for the thing. I think the issue comes where people have, where people do have these biases from years of culture or years of conditioning, that people do think that, oh, that's a man's job or that's a woman's job or that's a, you know, whatever. Like, in particular, with sex, again, like, people do have that biased automatically just from years and years.
For me, again, that's not inherently racist. Segregation for me is what makes it racist.
What if you say you can't do that because you're this? Right.
No, I'm not meaning that. You can have those thoughts and then you go, well, hang on, they're still the best qualified.
But what I mean is unconscious bias is a thing it is just been conditioned through culture over the years, and it will change
as
time goes by. No, I'm saying,
what I'm meaning is
that will change as time goes by. You're not, I'm not thinking that. We think that it's the person with the best qualifications, but then when it comes down to people with the best qualifications, you could have two women and a man, And somebody with the unconscious bias might think, or the unconscious bias would go, that man's going to be better at this job.
But
they might just have that, and that's why they might pick them. But over time, that will change.
But this is what I'm saying. This is completely. That's we're not talking about changing cultures and societies and cultural biases or anything like that, mm-hmm. or unconscious bias. What I'm meaning is, it is perfectly okay to think. You go back a few years, right? It's perfectly okay to think that a woman who was pregnant mm-hmm. was then going to give up working and then work and keep a home.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly okay to think that, to assume that. What's not okay then is to sack that person or to hire somebody else in or tell them, oh, you can't come back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is perfectly okay to assume that's what you're going to do.
Mm.
That, for me, is not racist.
What if...
That's just going with the culture.
What about people who, when a woman's going for a big, stressful, you know, important job,
mm-hmm.
and she's a woman, and she's, you know, maybe in her, you know, late 20s or early 30s or something,
mm-hmm.
and... Maybe she's considering having wins or whatever it is. But anyway, the people who are... She's going for this big job, require a lot of her time and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask her the question. I mean, maybe they shouldn't ask her the question.
Are you planning on having a family?
Aye. And then she says, yes, I am. And then they go, well, no, we're not hiring you because if you go and have a family, you'll end up having to take time off for that. And you'll have to more... And we can't afford for you to take on all this and then leave and do that. Because that's been often a thing that people have done. They mm-hmm. went, we can't hire that woman because she's wanting to have wains, so she'll likely have wains in the next couple of years, and that's not good for us because we need somebody who's going to be there. What would you say that is? Is that sexist? Is that unfair?
Let me answer that question with another question.
Right.
You're Warren Buffett,
right?
And Coca-Cola comes to you to invest in them.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go to invest in Coca-Cola or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coca-Cola, you go to Coca-Cola for a meeting
mm-hmm.
to discuss investment, and you say, they say, yeah, we're going to make this, we're planning on selling millions of bottles and then expanding,
mm-hmm.
If we've got enough money to do so. But then we're all going to jack it in 5 years' time.
Hmm.
Would you still invest?
No, I get that. I get what that's why I'm asking the question.
It's an objective decision.
Mm-hmm.
If someone... I know you can't do that. It's against the law.
Well, that's
right?
What I'm asking.
It's
like,
against the law.
That's what I'm... But the thing is, like...
I don't think it should be.
Yeah, I'm asking that question because I can understand the thought process of...
Mm-hmm.
And from a sort of... logical thinking business standpoint,
yep.
then yeah, as a lot, like it's a risk and a loss
but people,
that you could avoid.
But people are different.
But the thing is, if you get a woman who's really wanting this, you know, like a CEO or a big high job, big important.
Well, if it's for a CEO job, then yeah, because the average CEO post is 8 years.
I know, but like so... for whatever. But I just mean in general, a big important managerial or just a job, it's a lot
like,
of work. I can
if they're the best person for the candidate.
For the
and
job.
The planning. The best person for the best candidate for the job, then they get the job, and you deal with whatever happens mm-hmm. later on.
Well, see, that's what I think. And also, even if they did want, I don't think the question should come up if you're wanting wins or whatever.
No, it's you can't bring it up.
But if they're still wanting kids,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine. Because if they've worked that hard to get to that job, to do that, to want to do that thing,
yep.
then yeah, they might want to go away and have kids. But they'll go away, they'll have maternity leave, and they'll come back and they'll do their job.
Mm-hmm.
If they're that kind of person that's willing to put in the work to get to that place. I mean, maybe they won't, maybe they'll change a bit, but that's the risk you need to take. But I think the majority of people, not even women, just people who've worked that hard to get to where they are, to get to that position that they want that big job that people are thinking is too important to have, you know, somebody leaving or whatever, they'll make the effort to come back and do the stuff. You know what I mean?
I don't know. People is a different ballgame. I shouldn't have probably gave the example of the investment because It is technically the same thing, but
it does make sense that way.
It makes sense that way, I know. But people are different.
Aye.
You know, people, you do have to give a wee bit of compassion and understand people's situations.
Mm-hmm.
If someone was going to be off for 9 months
mm-hmm.
and come back after it, then mm-hmm. fine, great. But if that person was sitting there in the interview and telling me, yeah, I'm going to do this and then I'm never going to come back again once I've got my maternity money,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to hire that person, because that's more an attitude thing. That's more to do with the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not the type of attitude I would want to hire into my company.
I know, I know.
Someone that doesn't want to work.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that.
That's more to do with that side of things.
I get that.
But you can't ask these things in an interview for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not because it's inherently bad
mm-hmm.
to think that way.
Yeah.
It's because people can't be trusted to make an objective decision.
I have to.
Based on the best quality results.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make a decision that's strategically correct for the future.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got to hire the right person, and you've got to treat every candidate the same.
Mm-hmm.
Which is easy to do.
Yeah.
I don't think, this is where the racist stuff comes in. I can probably shoot myself in the foot here. I don't think it is racist or anything else to make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I was having a talk about trying to encourage more diversity and
mm-hmm.
or more male and females going for the opposite gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
For example, more men in cleaning and more women in security.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to encourage that. Trying to encourage a bigger, better talent pool.
Mm-hmm.
To pull from, and from that, you know, we're sitting saying it's bad to assume people's genders and all that now. Mm-hmm. A load of bollocks, right enough, but anyway. But when we look at all this recruitment data,
mm-hmm.
they tell us words to avoid, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that gets me, right? So if you're saying things like dynamic
mm-hmm.
or results driven or goal orientated,
mm-hmm.
right? Those are more likely to pull men in because they're male orientated words,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you want to encourage a woman in,
mm-hmm.
and this is from people who try to encourage diversity and equality,
mm-hmm.
then you need to use words like caring and responsible and. What was the other one I was thinking on? Soft influence and things like that.
Mm.
You've got to use all these words. And you're like, well, you're basically stereotyping women
mm-hmm.
to get
women
equality,
aye.
Which doesn't work. That's what we're trying to say, that women and men should be going for the same thing. So instead of focusing on the stereotypes, and instead of avoiding things and no saying this and no not saying that,
mm-hmm.
we should be saying whatever the hell we like to say.
Mm.
We should have a thicker skin, and we should give people the jobs based on their abilities.
Yeah.
Based on what they can do. Can they do the job? Would they mm-hmm. do it the best?
Aye.
That's but as a meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's right. I don't think it's possible,
because
mm-hmm. you can't change people's attitudes, and you will never change some people.
Mm-hmm.
That being said,
why is it not possible to have a merit?
Because there's always going to be someone sitting there going, "Who am I going to hire?" The associate of a guy that I've done work with,
mm-hmm.
and I owe a favour to,
mm-hmm.
or am I going to hire the best person for the job?
You should hire the best person
for the job. Yeah, but you don't. Somebody's always going to pick the guy that he owes a favour to.
Wouldn't he?
People do.
Oh, but a favour wouldn't be people that, do. That wouldn't be the favour I'd be giving them. I'd give them another favour, like I'd help them move.
Yeah, but it's alright saying that, but that's not how it works. I know what you mean.
I'm not in any position. I don't have any power in my life. So.
That's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the downside.
Mm-hmm.
That'll always be there,
mm-hmm.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to big it up or anything like that. I think we need to stop pussyfooting about.
Mm-hmm.
Round about the issue,
mm-hmm.
and wade right in and go, you know what, you might be a female, you might go off next year on maternity leave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my point, right? If a woman sat there and said, yeah, I'm planning on coming here and working here for a year,
mm-hmm.
and then taking my maternity leave once I'm eligible,
mm-hmm.
and getting pregnant, taking my maternity leave, then I wouldn't hire that person,
mm-hmm.
because that's not the type of attitude I would want to hire in.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we were sitting at an interview,
mm-hmm.
and none of that was said,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't immediately think this woman could go off pregnant, so I better give this job to a man.
Aye, no.
That's the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's the difference there, and it's key to mm-hmm. notice that before people start jumping down throats and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, if you're going to treat people fairly, you've got to treat people fairly.
Mm-hmm.
Can't you just do what you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to do what you are going to say things that you just want to say,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes, but when somebody challenges you, you go, you know what, you're right,
mm-hmm.
that is me being a bit, having my cake and eat it,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work like that.
Aye.
So I'm going to stop talking now, because I've ranted about race and feminism in this film.
Aye.
Has it got like 10 minutes of a mention?
I know. Film's great.
So, we have went on for like 40 minutes now, which I thought we were only going to do half an hour.
Aye.
I do this every week.
Well, we're talking for like 20 minutes about the film, and then we get off track on this topic of race. But that's good. It's interesting, because like this film does make you think about, you know, race and discrimination and that sort of thing. And what it makes me feel like is that I've like, obviously I've never experienced this sort of stuff. And even as a man, like Stephanie said to me many times, so that's just because you're a white. Oh, that actually pisses me off, right?
That's true and all.
Yeah, it's. She's a white guy. You don't know, and I'm like, right, fair enough. But what pisses me off is she never lets me have an opinion on anything.
That's that white savior crap.
What?
That the issue with that story, you know, the white savior thing.
Aye, aye.
Right. That is that.
What?
That is the. Just what you're saying is the epitome of that whole story that came up today.
Mm-hmm.
About the white saviour going into Africa and saving all these children when black people can do it too, and,
mm-hmm.
and we don't need your help and all that crap. See, that is the epitome of it. People, that's Kay can eat it again, mm-hmm. that I was saying. People will sit there and go,
don't need these
people are saviors. Racist and this, that, and the next thing. And then the minute you go, well, no, they're not. Oh, shut up, that's just racist. You can't have an opinion because you're unqualified to speak about it.
Aye.
So are you.
Aye. Well, that's the thing. Stephanie always says to me about any do we, like... Well, actually, she says it with any... Like, I was going to say she says it with just when it's to do with sexism, right? But she says it even, like, any minority. She says, I can't have an opinion because I'm a white male.
Mm.
She's like, you can't have an opinion, you're white, you don't get an opinion. And I'm like, I'm entitled to an opinion.
That is
true,
racist.
True, I may not have experienced, you know,
that like, is racism.
That's not fair. Yeah, because I'm a white male, I'm not allowed to have an opinion. Sure, for years and years before me, it was the white males being mm-hmm. being supreme and doing this to these, you know, these groups. Fair enough, I'm not back then doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a new guy, I'm a white male, yes, but I'm still a person and I can have an opinion on the thing. But they just don't like you.
You treat people fairly. Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm. But you're not, because you're white and you're a man.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's entitled to share that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not allowed to deliberately segregate people because of. I mean, it's perfectly okay to assume someone's gender.
Mm-hmm.
Assume they are a male or assume they are a female.
Well, you're getting another topic here.
Well, no, because if it turns out that they're not, mm-hmm. you go, oh, well, Right, fair enough. And then move on.
Yeah.
Right. None of this pussyfooting about, because that's what gets you into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's just pedantic.
Like, I think that, well, if you're going to start talking about the gender sort of stuff, like, mm-hmm. if, like, people being a different gender for how they might look or whatever the rest of it, like, with that, I just look at people as people, and I take them,
exactly.
I take them as they come. But if I see a man or a person that I think looks like a man, and I say, aye, him or her, or not him, or here, mate, can you give me a hand, or you're a good man, or whatever. Like, you know, if I'm just being a compliment, and I say something to do with a he, or a man, or a him, mm-hmm. if I'm lying to somebody here, who's he? Like, if I say that, and they don't identify as being a man, or whatever the rest of it, it's not, like, mm-hmm. it's fine for me to assume that, based on what I see. I can't go around going, is that person, like, try to avoid using the words him or her?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I think that and they go, actually, no, I'm a woman, or I'm a, like, you know, whatever they want to be, like, known as, then, if they tell me that, then fine, I'll, that's no problem. But I can't automatically know that, just looking at somebody. And then also, you can't just automatically assume, even if they do look, you know, like, if they're a man transitioning into a woman or vice versa, and you can okay. see that they're doing that, you can't assume that either.
How many guys out there have put their foot in it and went up to a woman and went, oh, congratulations, when are you due?
Yeah.
Right.
I've never done it because I'm just dying. I've
done it once. Okay.
I've just learned from watching other people make the mistake. Do not ask. The only time you can mention a Wayne is if the Wayne's sitting there in front of you. And even then, that's dangerous because you go, oh, even is this yours? And then they're like, no, it's my sister or my cousin or whatever. My nephew, my niece. And you're like, oh, crap.
But that's that's my point, right? It might be a wee bit embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not racist to assume because someone's fat that they're pregnant.
Yeah.
That's not racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But that's my kind of point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you treat people equally. Not equally, fairly.
Mm-hmm.
You treat people, you treat people equally.
Mm-hmm.
But equality is not a thing.
Mm.
Okay, it's like the old, there's a picture, right?
So you're definitely not communist.
No, because you think about it, right? You think about it, equality, there's the old thing, like the bit tall person
mm-hmm.
who can see over the barrier at the football game,
mm-hmm.
the medium sized person who can see the top of a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the small person who can see halfway up the brick wall, right? So they two can't see over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You give equality is given the three of them
seats so they can see over the wall.
Given the three of them, the same size boxes.
Same
three thing. Exactly the same size aye, boxes because you're treating them equally.
Aye, aye,
right. So now the person that could already see over the wall can now see even higher over the wall.
Aye.
The person in the middle can now see over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The person on the end still can't see over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's why equality doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So some people need a bigger leg up
mm-hmm.
than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's racist to...
I suppose it's a bit fairness then rather than...
It's about fairness. It's about giving people the chance. It's about putting the boxes in the corner and letting people go and get them.
Mm.
That's equal opportunity.
Yeah.
And letting them just divvy them up between them however they see fit.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work like that either. You know, because then you end up getting people just take a lane of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And you get people who take a line of the who see it problematic, for example in the taxation culture. You know, I work hard, I earn 100,000 a year, I'm paying 20,000 tax,
mm-hmm.
whereas you do nothing,
mm-hmm.
you earn nothing,
mm-hmm.
but get 20,000 a year from the government,
mm-hmm.
don't pay any tax. How is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't work, mm-hmm. you know, but we need a system. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the system we've got.
Unfortunately, people abuse that. Like, it's fair if it's people that can't do something. Right,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. People abuse the system.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't necessarily fair for you to do the work for someone else, regardless? Not really.
No.
Even if they can't do it, I understand. But is it really fair? No, it's not. Mm. Is it a good thing to do? Yes.
I still think it's but fair.
Is it? No, it's not fair. Mm. How is it fair? Well, you put in the work and I'll take the money for it.
But you're not taking all my money.
But I am.
But you're not, it'd be different if I was making...
You put in the work and I'll take the money.
No, listen, if I was making 40,000 a year...
Hang on.
Right, and then I had to pay 20,000 in tax, then yeah, I would be like, that's not fair.
Hang on. What were you saying?
Like, if I'm making £40,000 or £40,000 and I have to pay £20,000 in tax, I'm paying 50%
yep.
of what I make at that level, then yeah, that's unfair. So I'm losing half of what I've got because of that. But if I'm earning £250,000 or £300,000 and I'm having to gear up £150,000, yeah, I suppose it is a bit unfair if it's 50% still. But I've still got £150,000.
Yeah, but you earned...
300,000? I know, it's hard.
It's not fair. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know another system that would make it fair.
Yeah.
And we're going to have
I mean, it would be fair. It wouldn't be fair. It'd be good. Ideal system would be if you work for your money, you get your money, or you work and you get what you earned fair. And then if people weren't able to do whatever, then they would get it for the government or whatever the rest. But the problem is the government needs money for somewhere, and where do they get money? They get money for taxes. All for the people, which is the issue. If you could find an opposite way of doing that, or if you lived in a society where you didn't need money, then maybe it would work. But I don't know how you'd have that society. Don't know how that would work.
Yeah. But these are all deep questions.
But at the same time, I feel like people should have a sense of duty towards others. That you should try and look after people if they actually need it. People are taking it, if they're abusing it, then that's a different story. But like, I suppose that's my dad's influence on me there.
But
his opinion is very quite socialist, not totally socialist, but a bit like you need to look after people. You know what I mean? I never used to think that. I was quite they kind of thing we just leave them. That's just because I was cruel. But no, I think like there should be a sense of duty. Maybe it'd be fairer if maybe then, if you had a high paying job, then it was like a voluntary donation, like a charity type thing, like philanthropy.
No.
If you make that much money, you did that.
Because they would never make any money.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying maybe that would make it fair, as if the richest people were generous.
It wouldn't make
and they
it
did
fair.
Do that.
It wouldn't make it fair.
How?
Because then one person, then you'd have one Bill Gates
who gives away his money and the rest of them all get
and then
rich
you would
no
have
wallet.
What? You'd have 100 Jeff Bezoses.
Yeah, I suppose.
Well, Jeff Bezos is going to be half his money, but that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
My point being here that's it. The system isn't fair. The world isn't fair.
I know.
There's no such thing as equality. Having it would be a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why films like this are good, to kind of bring that back to mind and to if I can bring it back to the film now.
Mm-hmm.
Films like this are good for bringing it to your mind of like,
you know,
it was really bad then.
Mm-hmm.
You consider, you imagine how you would feel if that was you, was in that position then.
Well, you see, actually, a bit of that film made me think that it was going to switch it about. You know, when they walked into the black, kind of bar club thing. It was a bar, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like the pub place.
Mm-hmm.
When they walked into the black one, and he was a white guy, and he walks in. And there was sort of a moment where they were all looking at him.
No, they were looking at them because of their clothes.
But there was that moment where they all looked at them, and I thought they were looking at them going, they were going to be like, why is a white boy in here? And like, hangman, hassling him to get out. I thought that was going to be like a reversal. But it didn't. But I like that moment because I thought about it. It made me think about it. And then realise, well, they're not, because they understand what it's like.
Mm.
Like, why would they do that to others?
That's what I'm saying, right? It makes you think, what we have now,
mm-hmm.
I can't speak for anywhere else, and I can't speak for any other people,
mm-hmm.
what people have experienced. But from my point of view,
mm-hmm.
there isn't, the stuff that we're calling racism now isn't racism.
Mm-hmm.
We're not penalising people now
mm-hmm.
because of their skin, because of their gender, because of their colour of underwear.
Mm-hmm.
We're not penalising people. We're inclusive to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
People might not be comfortable with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
People might not be comfortable with how you see things,
mm-hmm.
Or the colour of your skin, or they might have stereotypes based against it. They might not be comfortable with it. But as long as they're not physically going out their way to make life
hard,
difficult, and to keep them away from people that are like themselves,
mm-hmm.
then it's not racist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. People get called names all the time.
Aye.
You know what? I probably get called as many names as a black person.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just all different names.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever told me it was racist to get called names.
Yeah.
So I don't tally them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take it on the chin. You go, you know what? Why then?
Mm-hmm.
But
I can't even remember getting slagged off.
Oh, I slag you off all the time.
Oh, but I don't notice, I'm too oblivious.
That's what I'm saying, you don't think about it, you just go on with it.
Because
you don't, nobody cares.
Aye.
So that film, what, I can't remember that film, the quote's from. I just look around, hey everybody, so-and-so's done this, see, nobody cares. I can't remember.
I can't remember.
It's a meme either. Now anyway.
Yeah. What is that film?
Ah, it doesn't matter.
That's quite annoying me. See, why do you have to keep bringing things up?
I'm not going
to
go there.
I'm not going to
go there. I'm not doing this again.
I'm not going to know what it is.
My point being, I like the film from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
From a, you know, look how far we've actually come.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt for the guy.
Was that Jurassic Park?
It might be.
I think it is.
I felt for him.
Mm-hmm.
From and this is where the whole kind of racism thing comes from. I'm not just jumping across another tangent again.
Mm.
But I felt for him because he was on his own.
Mm.
Not because he wasn't on his own because he's colored his skin.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't on his own because he was gay. He wasn't on his own because he was a concert pianist.
Mm-hmm.
He was on his own because he was closed off as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And his attitude.
Aye.
And that's why I felt for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things you can change. I mean, he could gee up playing the piano. Mm-hmm. He could, I can't gee up being gay or necessarily or being black, but
mm-hmm.
you know, he could move to somewhere where life would be easier.
Mm-hmm.
He could associate himself with his own people.
Mm-hmm.
He could associate himself with gay people.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He kept himself shut off because he didn't want to be like them. He didn't want to. Mm-hmm. He had his own prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I kind of felt for him.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point in your life where you do that enough
mm-hmm.
to the point where there's no return.
Aye.
You know, there is no return for him now. There is no return from where he was.
Oh, there is a bit. He could still go... Not go back, but he could move forward in a better way.
Aye, but what I mean is there comes a point in your life when you've avoided making friends, when you've had no family, you know, you get to a Christmas one year and you go, I've got nobody.
Aye.
You know, something serious happens, like 9/11 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing you want to do is go and spend time with your family because it makes you think what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I've got nobody.
Aye,
I am on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you're past the point of no return, because after a certain point it becomes difficult to make friends. After a certain point it becomes difficult to open yourself back up to people again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what was that I kind of got at with that film. So anyway, enough of these deep conversations.
Aye.
I'm getting tired and I need to go to my bed.
I thought that was a very good point you made there.
I'm getting too philosophical now.
No, I totally agree with you, everything you were saying there.
Like, that's a first.
I know. Although we agreed that we thought this film was good, so that's good, I know. I thought it was a really good film. I enjoyed all of the funny bits and all the rest of it. I still think Tony was my favourite character, though. I liked him, he was dead. He was just a dead down to earth guy. I'm like, I mean, I feel like I'd like being pals with this guy. Like, there's just something about it. And I just, like, the whole film, I kept smiling. Like, just enjoying what was happening. Even if it wasn't particularly funny or whatever was going on, I just, like, enjoyed it. The bits where it was, like, being racist and that, I was, like, kind of frowning and I could feel myself getting a bit annoyed at whatever was happening and, like, kind of feeling for the character. And if a film can make me feel what's happening to the characters, then I think that's amazing, because, like, most of the time I watch a film impassively and just watch a film. But if I start feeling for these people and liking these people, then that, I feel like that makes a good film, both for the actors being good at it, but also being, like, a well-written, like, good story.
I used to say that, right?
But now you don't like feeling things.
But now I'm like that with every film.
You just greet.
I'm just totally invested. Like, every film we went to see recently, mm-hmm. I've ended up greeting at the end of the film.
Aye.
Not, like, full-on greeting.
Aye, but teary-eyed.
At the end of that, I was all upset, because... Well, I wasn't upset. You know, it's just because, you know, he made his family and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this morning, Felix Bond. I was watching that, the launch of the SpaceX demo one or whatever it was called. And right at that, I got emotional, and you just think it was a culmination of all that hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming together in that one moment, and, you know, you can be happy for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I get all emotional at that. And then I started watching the Felix Baumgartner, or whatever his name is, Jump from Space.
Oh, aye, aye.
And I was getting all emotional at that.
And it was like, getting a big softie now.
I get emotional.
What's happened to
everything
you?
Now, I don't know.
Oh, I'm not that close. To me, it still takes a bit to get, you know, the old stone heart bump beating.
What did we see last week?
Let's look back. I can't remember.
Instant Family. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that was a fuel
film. That was a fuel film.
That is a film to get emotional about, totally. Right, yeah.
And the week before was Alita.
Alita? I didn't really get. No, The Mule. Was like
The Mule. Oh, that was a fuel film.
Yeah, that was a bit.
Because he made up with his family and all that, and then went to prison.
Yeah.
That was so sad.
And then Alita was before that.
Alita was a wee bit.
Alita wasn't so much, but a wee bit. But not
it was
so
a
much.
Bit annoying.
The one before that was Can You Ever Forgive Me? That one was quite emotional for me.
What's that?
That was the one with the writer that couldn't write, and, like, she was forging the letters and...
Oh,
and she gets caught and all that, and it was the best time ever, but she was just so, like... She was just so lost.
I know.
And then before that was Glass, which she hated, so let's just ignore that one. Pretend that didn't happen. Now we're just going through all the podcast. You should go back and listen to the podcast. And
we're not going to go back any further than that, because that's...
Yeah, it's just getting repetitive. But yeah, no, like...
No, I'm getting more and more emotional with these films.
I'm not really... Well, I do sometimes. If I start to watch it and I get pulled into it, then I can be... But even, it actually takes me conscious effort to allow myself to be emotionally invested. Most of the time,
you're a psychopath.
I know, and I've had this discussion with Stephanie many times. She thinks I might be like mildly sociopathic, but that's another thing. Anyway, so
I think you definitely are more than mildly.
No, because like I have to, like, when I watch a film, like this film didn't really need to try as hard, and that's when I know it's a good film. But like, if I want to actually feel what's going on, I need to make the conscious effort to try and feel what's going on. Once I start trying, it sort of comes. But I can sit
and... It's not about trying, it's about relaxing.
I suppose, but
it's
even...
It's about unwinding and getting
involved.
No, but not even that.
Like, I can watch a film and be totally dispassionate about the whole thing. But if, like, say a character, somebody dies or whatever happens, like, you know, whatever goes on, I need to actively think in my head, what would I feel like if that was me? Like, would I be upset? Whatever. And I need to...
It's just called empathy.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. I need to make it happen before I actually start to feel for the people in the film. Not always, but more often than not, I need to actually make an effort. But once I start making effort, it just starts flowing. It's like a bloody dam breaking and that's just the way. But before that, I could, like... And I just kind of... It kind of worries me a wee bit, but... So, yeah, I wish I was a bit more like you. I always say that to Stephanie. She's dead. She'll cry at a drop of a hat. She'll watch something on the telly and be like, oh, wee puppy, and be green. Like,
no, that's just
automatic. Mental. No, but her level of empathy is, like, insane. Like, she can feel the pain of somebody across the room that she's not even speaking to just by looking at their face. She can feel what they're feeling.
Oh, I can do that.
She's that. I can't do that. I'm just like, what's up with them? Like, I just...
do that all the time,
I'm so...
I was doing that in there.
I'm so disconnected for things.
I was doing it in there.
What, with that film or with who?
No, with all those folk working in the cinema. You know, it's all young folk. You're like, this isn't what these people want to do with their lives. You know, who wants to work...
What would it be like to be in your mind?
Who wants to clean up the floors
I suppose I'm in just cinemas? Crazy.
Who wants to clean up people's messes and spill juice and down seats and all that? Nobody signs up for that.
Nobody went to the people sign up. But
nobody does it out of choice.
Aye, nobody loves that.
You know what I'd love to do?
Maybe they do.
Clean up somebody's Pepsi that's spilled down the other seats.
But maybe once they do it, they actually do love that.
And you're thinking, these people are at uni and these people are struggling through these jobs. And I was thinking, you know, I used to take these jobs for granted when I was young and foolish. And you take like things like gardeners and people working out in building sites. And, you know, people that...
Some of these people do enjoy these things, though.
But nobody leaves school and goes, you know what I'd love to do? Stand in the freezing cold for 3 weeks at a time and get absolutely frozen solid and still have to try and do work.
No, but they might not think that, but they might leave school, you know what I want to do? I want to build things and see, like, a finished... You know, building and
thing,
and then part of that is a sacrifice of you need
and
to do these things.
That's fine. That's great for some people, but you know you've got to be. You're empathetic. People don't want to work in there.
I can't.
People don't want to work in McDonald's.
You know that empathy that you feel. I need to actually consciously try to feel that before I feel it.
Likewise.
Automatically, I don't. I suppose that is maybe a bit, but I don't care about anything other than myself, unless I have to consciously make the effort to try and care. Like, people who I'm friends with, I've made a conscious effort to try and be empathetic to those people.
Mm-hmm. But you consider people like that, you're like, who wants to work to midnight?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who wants to wait on...
People that don't like going to bed early.
No, but, you know what I'm saying? Who wants to be... You know, they've all got homes to go to.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got work in them, or university or whatever in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who wants to stand... In the cinema.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they enjoy it.
12 o'clock at night.
Maybe they enjoy it.
Because some so-and-sos went to the toilet and been in there for the past hour and they can't leave and lock up until everybody's left.
Well, maybe they enjoy that challenge.
Maybe
they enjoy being out to this time at night. Maybe they enjoy having the days.
I'm speaking from being in that position.
Oh, yeah. But not everybody's the same way.
I don't know if... You've been never really in that position.
What, he's staying up late and stuff? No, I've had an easy life.
You've had an easy life. You walked straight into a job.
Not really. I went for a good few interviews before.
Oh,
you
done Primark? No, you done Primark.
I worked at Primark.
Who wants to work Primark?
You know, actually, I didn't want to at the time. Well, actually, I wouldn't like to work on till. See, I'm quite antisocial, so I didn't want to work on tills and talk to people. I was quite happy to sit there and stand there and fold my clothes. I didn't even talk to anybody who I actually worked with. People would start. There's this guy, right? A guy who used to work with Primark. Can't remember his name, but he was like, he was always dead chatty and wanted to talk to you, and he acted to me like. Actually, I just felt really uncomfortable with him because he acted to me like he was my best pal. And I'm like, I don't know you. Why are you talking to me like you know me? Mm. And like, he'd be like, oh, I deal with this and whatever. Like, all I liked doing was going in, folding my clothes, putting it down and that. And I loved it when people came and messed up my stuff because then it gave me something to do the stuff. But like, that mind-numbing, repetitive work, at the time, I didn't like it so much. But now I could do with some days of doing some mind-numbing, repetitive work because sometimes
it's
nice.
I take it for granted, I know.
Sometimes it's nice to just do it. Go home at the end of the day and that's it. You don't need to worry about anything. That's the job done.
Some, I'd love to be able to stand about with some of the people in the cinema.
No, but you might find some of the people. You're right. A lot of people probably don't enjoy what they do and all the rest of it, and your empathy towards that is correct, but you might be wrong.
No, I just think, you know, it's people that... The thing that I always think about is, you know, people working in these shops and these jobs
mm-hmm.
past a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing it at uni, that's one thing, well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're grafting, you're learning. You're learning the ins and the outs.
Mm-hmm.
And learning to humble yourself, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're still doing that same job at 40,
mm-hmm.
you didn't want to end up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you think about it, when people are going out at the weekends
mm-hmm.
and getting absolutely blottoed mm-hmm. to forget about work.
I know. It's
a sad life.
That's such a sad life.
And I think you're right.
You don't consider how lucky you actually are to have a job, a decent job, that you're stressed out about. You can go, you know what, at the weekend I go out and I enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're satisfied with what you do.
I'm satisfied with what I do. By the Monday I'm ready to go back in and face the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're right for the majority of people, but I think there's also people that do enjoy. You're saying a guy at 40 or 50 or a woman, whatever, working in a shop.
Some people
didn't
do.
Want to do that.
I agree with you. No, some people do.
No, you might be right, as in they never initially thought, like, they were not at school going, I can't wait to work in Asda or whatever it is. But for all you know, they could have left school, went to uni, got a part-time job in Asda, and went, you know what, I really love working in Asda. I love stacking the shelves and doing this and talking to the people and helping people out and getting their shopping and doing it. Like, they might just love that. People might love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how they end up staying there at their 40 or 50. So your empathy is well placed. I think your empathy is good. That you can feel these things for these people, but it might also be misplaced because they might actually be loving it.
But then, if they love their job...
Whereas I'm just the person who doesn't even bother.
If they love their job, then I feel for them even more.
Mm-hmm. Why? What do you mean, feel for them badly or goodly? Goodly, don't know as a word.
Because I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I think, you know, if you love your job...
Mm-hmm. You're in the wrong job.
No. If you love a job like that, and you're, I don't know, I was trying to say this, but
do you
some
think,
people do love
do
jobs
think,
like that.
Do you think it lacks ambition? Is that what you're?
I don't think it lacks ambition. I think it shows a closed off life.
I don't think so.
I think it shows a sheltered life.
I think
if people haven't seen what the world's got to offer.
I think people who are satisfied with a simple job are amazing. Like, I wish that I could be like that. Like, I think people... I'm not talking about people who just do a job, like, do a simple job because, like, whatever. Like, because they have to or whatever. Like, I'm talking about people who genuinely love doing it. Like, who can be happy with their life. Simple job. Doesn't, you know, not mega money or whatever, but gets them by, can enjoy, you know, what they do after work or whatever. Like, I think that's amazing. I envy those people. I don't look at the people and go, okay, they're working in Asda, they've not had, you know, they've not tried this or they've not had bigger aspirations or whatever.
I don't look at people in Asda sometimes, like that.
Sometimes I think myself going, I would love to just have a wee simple, like, I always think of a farm. I know farms aren't easy. And I don't exactly, you know, envy farmers being out in the freezing cold and doing their work and all the rest of it. But I always just imagine when I'm thinking, I'd love to just go and live on my own, on a wee plot of land that's self-sustaining. It just sustains me. And just wake up every day and go and make my food and do whatever. And just live a really simple, straightforward life. Like, sometimes I really envy that. Like, that would be, like, just lovely and nice. And I wish that I could be satisfied with, like, a life like that. I think that that's actually a really... I think people who can get that and be at peace with that, I think that's amazing. Like, I think most people never find that...
But that's rewarding in itself.
Never find that kind of peace.
No. Because that's rewarding because you are working hard and reaping the rewards. You enjoy the process of working hard and reaping the rewards.
Mm-hmm. No, but I even mean like an Asda.
When I mean people working in Asdas and Tesco's, they all look miserable.
Aye, well, that's not what
I mean. And deliver on post in the season call. What I mean is...
I know, the people who genuinely look miserable and are miserable, that's different.
No. What I mean is, the people who are out doing these jobs because they need the money.
Mm-hmm.
I just... That's what... I feel so bad for.
Aye, well, that's people not what who I was
have, but that's what I'm saying.
Aye, well, I get
people
that.
Who do
I get
these
that.
Jobs because they need the money.
No, I understand that. I feel sorry for people that
don't feel they've got any chance of going higher.
Aye.
That don't think
they can
stretch out with their box. That don't know if they're going to make it to the end of the week with it. On their paycheck.
Mm. No, I get that. I don't. See, I've always got a paranoia about that. That's why I'm always worried about money. It's because I never want... My vision of my future is I don't want to have to ever worry about money that way.
But people like us always find a way to be resourceful.
Mm.
Because we always think, you know, there is a way out of this.
Yeah, I suppose.
But not everybody thinks that way.
Mm.
And that's why people
are a bit defeatist that way,
I was watching a Simon Sinek... Is it Cynic or Cynic?
Cynic, I don't know.
I think it sounds better. Cynic. Positive guy who's Cynic. Anyway, I was watching a thing and he was talking about, you know, he says, I'm not going to give this poor person, this beggar, any money.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to give her a different sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wrote on the sign, if you have already given this time, then please consider me next time.
Mm-hmm.
And it got the person a lot more money, a lot quicker. But as soon as she made her £30 to get into the hotel down the road, she stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the mindset that you want to get away from. That's the mindset that people are closed into.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no point putting it on this podcast because people with that mindset probably won't listen to this type of thing.
Mm-hmm. You see, I always sort of think about that myself. Like, you know, when you're walking down the street of Glasgow or whatever, and you see, like, the beggars and whatever, the rest of it. Like,
a lot of it's choice.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like if I ended up homeless, I feel like my goal would be to get enough money or whatever. Like, would be to go to the local library, apply for jobs, and whenever I have an interview, get enough money to go to get a hotel room or to get into, like, a swimming bath or something. To have a shower and get some clean clothes on and go to my interview and try and get out of that situation. Like, and I wonder, like, I sometimes wish, like, you know, you have wee fantasies. I wish in the fantasies I had some big job, like, you know, like a big, like I owned a company or something, that if I'm walking down the street and I see a homeless person, that I can go and say to them, by the way, do you want a job? I can give you a job, even if it's a cleaning job, like a low job in my company. I can get you started and get you back on your feet. Like, I think people could do that.
You need, but it's not just as simple as giving someone a job. That's what I'm saying to you.
Mm.
Because if you give them a job,
mm-hmm. you're doing it for them.
No, they'll maybe accept it,
mm-hmm.
but they'll not get their life back in track.
Mm.
They'll not be reliable.
Well, like for me, it's more.
It needs to be a change in mindset. It needs to be a change in attitude.
What I mean by that is you're giving them an opportunity.
You're giving them an opportunity, but they're not going to do it.
Yeah, well, some might
Coaching, without changing it. Aye, the ones that want to change their attitude, but that's what I'm saying.
Giving
someone a job, just like giving someone £100 or giving someone a sausage roll, fixes nothing.
Aye. It's only if changing they are willing
the
to change.
Attitude works.
Aye.
Because I can give you any number of homeless people.
Aye.
Some people do, and you get the stories on the news all the time of the homeless guy that made... was given £100 and then got his life back in track because of it.
Mm.
That's people who are homeless through poor circumstance,
mm-hmm.
not through choices that they've made,
mm-hmm.
i.e. drugs or drink
or
feeling sorry for themselves.
Anything that's self-inflicted.
Self-pity. You know, these are people who want to get their life back in track. And sometimes, to be fair, the choice was joining the army and they've got PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And so they struggle coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart seeing anybody homeless as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it just... I want to go and you want to just go and say, you know, by putting in a bit, not a bit of effort, a lot of effort,
mm-hmm.
by putting in a lot of effort, can really make something of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They can work in it, they can get a job in Asda,
mm-hmm.
they put the effort in.
Mm-hmm.
They can then lead to a different job, they can lead to a different... Because see, the effort that it takes to go from homeless
mm-hmm.
to stable, living in a home
mm-hmm.
with a job, with a stable job,
mm-hmm.
it's the same effort that it takes to go from that job to CEO.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of grit and determination that it takes
mm-hmm.
from that, from homeless to working in a, and having a home, as it is to working and having a home to becoming the CEO of a massive corporation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just hard work, determination, and a wee bit of patience.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be able to go, you know, you can do that. You can become that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can. They're willing to change themselves and, mm-hmm. and their attitudes, and willing to deal with the pressures that's involved.
Yeah.
But that's where my empathy comes in. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm terrible. I think these things all the time, and then I don't do something, I feel guilty. I'm like,
oh, and I don't have
done anything.
I mean, if I sit and I think about these things, then yeah, I feel similar to you. But most of the time, I just disassociate forever, and I just walk by homeless people.
And then I feel for people.
But then that's also my awkwardness. I want to be able to acknowledge
mm-hmm.
homeless people, but I'm so freaked out by people in general that I don't want them to know. I don't want them to notice me. Never mind me notice them. I don't want anybody down the street to acknowledge me. I want to be a ghost. I'm weird. I've got problems. Mm. I don't want to be acknowledged. So then I feel, I like, so if I'm walking by and a homeless person's like begging for money or whatever the rest of it is, I don't acknowledge them. And a small part of me does feel bad because I'm like, they're still a person. But at the same time, I'm too socially awkward myself to be like, to say anything. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond to that person. Because in my experience in the past, as people have came up to me, it spoke to me and asked for things and whatever, and it's like just made me nervous of the whole situation. I must have one of the faces, by the way, that people come up and just ask you for stuff, because I've had that many times. People, like a guy coming up to me here, you get 50p for the bus. I'm like, that bus isn't 50p.
That's like, just been in Glasgow.
No, not even in Glasgow. It happened in Glasgow, and it happened in Blackpool, and it happened in London.
Aye.
London.
Or major cities, that's what I'm saying. It happens in major cities.
And I'm like, why are you coming up to me and asking? And that's just made me freak out a bit. I mean, I'm bad enough with people, never mind that. I need to, like, mentally prepare myself for interacting with people.
I know.
That's why it's easy on a podcast. You just talk to your pal and it's, you know, you sound like...
You're even more depressed now.
Alright, we'll see. We went on a bad talk. Let's go back to the film. What a happy film that was. It's great. His life. I was going to see his life back together. Like, you know. He made a friend. Made a friend for life. That guy, they were friends to the day they died. And they died only a couple of months apart.
Which has nothing at all to do with anything.
I know. It doesn't make any difference. But it's a nice notion.
Anyway. Rating.
Oh, you see.
Because this is now our longest episode ever.
I know.
But to be fair, this was always the reason we used to walk around the locks. Keep going, we should start a podcast because we talk.
We just talk like, for
about loads of different topics and different things.
Ages,
and we've never actually done that yet on a podcast. We've ranted a wee bit, never as much as what we've done this time.
Oh, maybe, I don't know. What was the longest podcast?
And we'll probably continue this offline as well at some point.
Nah, we just like chatting, mm-hmm. we're just chatter boxes here.
There is no episode over an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I'm trying to see, I think you're right. Oh well, new record, woohoo! This film... I need to get an 8. 7. I was wanting to get a 9 when I was in the cinema. Right after the film, sitting
seven.
There watching it. As soon as the film ended, I'm like, that was a bloody 9. Seven. That was a brilliant film. And I still think it's a brilliant film, but I'm like, it's probably an 8.
It's a 7.
We dropped down for a 9.
It's a 7.
It's an 8.
Wasn't that good?
Right, okay, go with 7 then, because I don't know where my rating's going. I'm going all over the place now. I've went from being too feared to of giving a end above a 7 to now wanting to give everything. So I still think it was an 8. I think it was really good. It was really good. I need to watch it again a second time. I know you don't like watching things twice. I need to watch it a second time to see if it still has the same impact. If it had the same impact it did the first time, then it's a solid 8 or even a 9, but it's an 8 for the moment.
Okay.
So we'll get a 7.5 since you're in a 7, we'll go half of.
Okay, right.
All right.
I need to go and find a homeless person now.
And what, give them some money or not?
Yeah. Okay, till next week.
Yes, thank you for listening.